This episode is presented by State Farm. Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like expecting the leadership of a team captain on the football field, but getting a sea captain. You wouldn't settle for just anything for your team. Shouldn't it be the same for your insurance? So don't settle for just any insurance when you can go with a leader. State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
More rewards, more savings. With American Express Business Gold, earn up to $395 back in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select shipping, food delivery, and retail subscription merchants, including the $155 Walmart Plus monthly membership credit and $240 flexible business credit. Enjoy the benefits of membership with the Amex Business Gold Card. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/business-gold. Amex Business Gold Card, built for business by American Express.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
As we go a little something like this.
This is The Rich Eisen Show, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Terry killed the injured dolphin.
It was a dislocation.
Earlier on the show, quarterback consultant Jordan Palmer, three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth. Coming up from Hulu's Chad Powers, Glenn Powell and Michael Waldron. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Chad Powers is in our green room. Well, it's actually Glenn Powell, much handsomer than Chad Powers. The famous Eli Manning video in which he snuck into Penn State practices and tryouts with a disguise.
Yeah. Manning, get out.
As Chad Powers has now become a television show, and the man who plays Chad Powers is Glenn Powell. And Michael Waldron is the writer slash showrunner that Glenn connected with to create this character. And all six episodes can be seen on Hulu. Premieres today with two episodes on Hulu.
Hulu.
Which is part, as you know, of the Disney world. We're on Disney Plus, ESPN, the app, and ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Right now, the world of playoff baseball is underway. Beautiful blue skies in Cleveland, Ohio, where Tarek Skubal is protecting a 1-0 lead. His teammates and the Tigers gave him in the first inning. So that one he is matriculating through. I believe, is that a four I can see on my screen? Bottom four? Is that where we are?
Bottom four.
Bottom four.
We're
coming on the air. Yeah, we're betcha. You betcha. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. According to the Baltimore Sun, Lamar Jackson's hamstring injury is a 2 to 3 weeker. And they're hoping, even if it's just the 3 weeks, not a biggie, because the third week from now, they're on a bye. So it's just two games that he might miss. And it's Cooper Rush getting the gig maybe this weekend. It's not official, but it's against the Houston Texans at 1-3. The battle for trying not to go 1-4. Of division winners from last year.
Yikes.
And then the Rams come in. So the Rams have got a short week game against the San Francisco 49ers, and then they're in Baltimore against what appears to be Cooper Rush and no Roquan Smith either. He's out with an injury as well. So they're out their actual quarterback and the quarterback of their defense. If you want to consider Roquan that, because Kyle Hamilton does a ton as well. He's one of the few that are knock on whatever this is, healthy in Baltimore. And then the Rams after that will go to London to take on the Jaguars, the second of two games. I'll be calling on NFL Network, just trying to weave it all together for you, that the Ravens at 1-3 will have to try and dig out of that hole with Cooper Rush at quarterback, who has done it before for the Dallas Cowboys. And Dak was also a guy that can throw it and run it back in the day. You know, he doesn't run it as much anymore. So, you know, don't forget, they went and got Cooper Rush for their backup, and this is it. This is why you have a backup quarterback for this very moment. For a 2-3-4-game stretch to keep things afloat or to keep things from sinking lower. And that's a big gig for Cooper Rush here. Good thing is that Henry's healthy. Zay Flowers is healthy. Rashad Bateman is healthy. DeAndre Hopkins is healthy. Justice Hill is healthy. Mark Andrews. It's just the other side of the football that is an absolute mash unit right now. It's amazing. You know, the Bengals, will there be enough of a season if Burrow comes back in December? And now we're talking about for the Ravens, is there going to be enough of a season when, you know, Lamar comes back before November? Man, after the bye, it's home for Chicago, then at Monday night, at Thursday night at Miami. That's three in a row they're going to have on the road, at Minnesota, at Cleveland, home for the Jets. There's some winnable games out there. I mean,
if they're 1-5, though.
You think Cooper Rush is going to lose them both? Really think so?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, let me tell you what. Everybody, and again, we'll find out if I'm right about Jake Browning. I know a lot of people think I'm wrong, including everybody else looking at me on Disney Plus, ESPN, the app, and in this room. Okay, I understand. Not named Browning or Jordan Palmer, our first hour guest. But, hey, Cooper, take your first meaningful snaps for the Baltimore Ravens against the three-time defending AFC champion Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead, with them playing at the top of their game all of a sudden. And now, take every rep at home. You're taking on the 1-3 Houston Texans that have trouble protecting their quarterback and coming up with a running game. With them coming off of their only win of the season, feeling good about themselves against the Tennessee Titans team that's yet to win. You know what I mean? It's a much better circumstance.
He's not facing that. He's facing Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter.
Okay. Got it.
And they just shut out, a rookie, which they were supposed to do.
You're
and they
right.
Did.
It doesn't look great for the Ravens. It looks dire.
It
but even if they're 2-4 coming off of their bye, you know, then Lamar sticks his foot in the ground. Will they be 12-5 again? Winning 11-12? Doubt it. Is that 10 wins maybe enough to win the division? We'll see what the Steelers do from 3-1 coming off their bye. We'll see what they do. You're right, though. As you said, TJ, in the Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday segment, the Steelers, if you told the Steelers you're going to win three of your first four going into the bye with no significant season-long injuries of which to speak, Joe Burrow's going to be out for most of the season, and the Ravens are going to be 1-3 with Lamar going down for 2 to 3 weeks after that, and the Browns are going to be essentially the Browns, where the defense is great and the offense leaves you wondering what direction the entire franchise is going in.
Yep.
Would they have signed that piece of paper?
Quicker than you can say, I don't even know
what you just said.
Put in there.
Correct. Yes.
Quicker than the hiccup.
So, looks good. Looks good for the Steelers so far. And the Ravens are entering dire straight waters right now.
Money for nothing?
I won't even say what else is free.
Mark,
for
Mark Schwerth would.
2 hour for Rich. Yeah, I know. Number of job.
Fantastic. Good one. He would.
Hey, it's a Tuesday, so we just did Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. You know what Tuesday's about, too.
Jerry Jones is speaking locally
on the radio.
Come on.
5-3 the band.
Come on.
I told you the way it was going to work, TJ.
Yeah, you tried to.
No. I told you the way it's going to work. The Micah Parsons stuff is going to reach a fever pitch when Micah comes back. And then after that game, Jerry's going to speak on his radio show. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be brought up one last time.
Macca.
And then we'll see what happens after that. And then after that, I don't know, I don't know how often it's going to be brought up to Jerry Jones again. Mm-hmm. And because if Micah starts doing particularly well, he might come on the radio and talk about his patience being thin to jack around with his hosts. You know, that's one of our favorite drops that we have.
Jack with you today.
Okay, so that may happen if the Packers go on a run and the Cowboys lose to the Jets and it starts getting ugly. But right now, Jerry's feeling good about the trade. He's up for talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
The first order of business, Jerry, with 105.3 The Fan, talking about the Micah sack and how does he feel about the trade now?
Oh.
He might have gained yards on that. I don't know. I don't know the detail on it. But that's a good test out there when you don't have a player anymore. He's lining up directly against you, plus you don't have him on your defensive side of the ball. Now, that's a real good test. And I'm glad that everybody got to see it. where it goes, and it left me feeling good about our trade.
Feels good about the trade. Chris, feels good about the trade.
Because he won the trade. He should feel great.
That's what you were, you're beginning to start saying that in Overreaction Monday. Now you're outside of the construct of Overreaction Monday. It's still too soon to say it, but Kenny Clark is an excellent player. They have two firsts in their back pocket for the next two drafts. And Micah got only one sack of Dak, and it was one for no gain, but he did save a touchdown in an overtime contest that wound up in a tie. And the Cowboys, after being down 13-0, put their foot down and started playing much better football. And you'll hear what he feels of his defense in a moment, but the whole Micah didn't hear from Jerry thing. And that was the whole business of Micah saying, you know, hey, Kenny Clark heard from Brian Gutekunst to say, we're trading you. He didn't hear such a thing from Jerry and took that as a sign of disrespect. And as a matter of fact, they didn't even talk since OTAs, which is the spring. This was brought up to Jerry Jones again on 105.3 The Fan.
I really don't want to respond to that at all. I'm in deference to you very much. But that phone call thing got stopped when he told me to take his number off my dial. So I was, don't call him anymore. So I quit those calls.
Told him to lose my number.
No, well, you got to lose my number. That's
you
not
really
good.
Think this page has been turned, man?
Not a chance.
No.
I didn't get turned.
I also don't think that Micah said that to Jerry.
You didn't think he went full Ricky, lose my number? You don't want to call nobody else?
Yeah.
Send it off in a letter.
That's it.
To yourself.
That's it.
Oh, yeah. You guys know the lyrics. I'm impressed.
We need to stop right now, though, just for my own personal sake. Susie despises Steely Dan.
How?
With every fiber of her being.
I'm texting her right now.
They just thought Peg was going to come back.
Steely Dan. Understand Steely Dan. Doesn't understand why I like Steely Dan. Doesn't know why I understand why other humans like Steely Dan. I mean, like, with the fury of the white
Steely
hot
Dan
fury
is one of
Donald
sons. Fagan is one of the greatest music. Okay. He's genius.
Listen, Jerry was told to lose. You think that he's making that up?
You think he's
basically saying?
Hey, you think a 25-year-old kid talking to his boss says lose my number?
Well, I mean, when you're talking like maybe this sort of thing here, but it's, again, the whole point of it is just like it's wild that we're having this conversation
now. Yeah, it's insane, nuts.
You know, because that is one of those things where it's just like.
Okay.
Okay. It's better left unsaid. Although, I guess if he's being accused of, like, you weren't man enough to speak to me, and you disrespected me, and he knows that I was told to just lose my number. But that's the sort of stuff you need to overlook as somebody, you know, who's in charge of an organization. Just like overlook it.
You can't be in cut your feelings.
Even
man.
He said, that's worth $10 billion.
Even he said that, you know, when money's at stake, people start getting angry.
By the way, Rich, I just text Susie. I said, what's your beef with Steely Dan?
Yeah.
She wrote back a word that I can't say.
No. Send that off in a letter.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no.
Something I can't say worst. Yeah.
So. You got it. There's a. The opposite of no static at all?
She has all the right. Static.
Don't do that again.
All right.
I'm done.
Peg!
But Jerry liked the way things finished up for the Dallas Cowboys. Said that the defense played better as the game went on.
Even though they scored 40 points, our defense improved as that game went along right before your eyes. And we did make some stops that were out there that were key stops against a fine offensive football team in Green Bay. So I think your eyes didn't betray you and that we got better as that game went along.
I mean,
we need to make sure that Jerry lives forever. Like, how do we ensure that?
I'm sure, I don't know, I do love the guy. I mean, he's been so great to NFL Network and the NFL. And it's like weekly Tuesday fodder for
us. That's what I mean.
Now.
It's too good.
You know, even with all that, I am compelled to point out, here's the Green Bay second half possessions. touchdown, 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 field goal, field goal.
Right. So they were 5 for 5.
But they did prevent the touchdown at the end to preserve the tie.
Sure.
That's great.
But I understand what he's saying. I understand what he's saying as well.
I'm glad, like, you understand.
Hey, no.
I don't.
Diggs was making plays after getting torched. You know what I mean? Like, there are some. I understand why he's saying what he's saying. You know what I mean?
No, I don't.
Okay. Trying to be. Don't you think Diggs played a better game?
We gave up 40 points. Okay. 40.
That's a lot.
Well,
40.
Here come the. Here they go into MetLife. Last time they went there, the Jets won it. I'll never forget that. I was in London. I was ahead of Michael Irvin's my ESPN app, watching it on the dots.
You know,
the
dots.
We were at dinner. The whole crew was at dinner. Susie was there. Some of Susie's friends, our friends, were all there in London. It was like about 12 people. Kurt and Brenda Warner were there. Mooch was there. We were all there. And my app was in front of his iPad, watching it on the Game Pass.
Yeah, he had a delay.
Yeah, he had a delay. So I got the information before he did it, and I saw that the Jets were about to score a touchdown. Like, Sam Darnold found it for somebody. I think it could have been Robbie Anderson for a gajillion yards. Or Dak got pit six, one or the other. And the dot just went across the screen. I just looked at Michael, just getting ready to watch him watch it. He watched it, took his iPad, left the London restaurant. Still hasn't paid us. Part of his bill. At any rate, love you, Michael. Look who's joining us next. Michael Waldron, who's brought to life Chad Powers, and Chad Powers himself, Glenn Powell, coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Bringing people into the world of college football, there's nothing like it. You know, the passion around it. And, you know, even just, you know, I've been to Sanford Field, you know, you've been to DKR, and it's like, you know, sharing that, you know, is a really special experience. And this show just really, I think, just really taps into that kind of passion. But the stakes around it, mm-hmm. the fun part about it is that we have a show in which we use that sort of device that Eli had, which is like, you knew that Eli Manning was under that mask.
Yes.
On the Penn State tryout. So we get to take that sort of same device and have kind of that crazy pressure cooker of a team that's vying for a national title. But meanwhile, their quarterback is not who he says he is.
It's Chad Powers here, Glenn Powell and Michael Waldron, the co-creators and executive producers of the highly anticipated show based off the Eli Manning video from years ago. It premieres today with two episodes on Hulu. New episodes release weekly on Tuesdays. Our ESPN Radio audience has just rejoined us, and it is really awesome to see this thing come to life right here. And so it was out there amongst the world that Omaha was looking to do this, that Eli was looking to do this, and you did you pitch the Mannings? Did they pitch you? How does this work?
We were the ones insane enough to say let's chase it. Glenn and I we've been buddies and had wanted to do something together, and like Glenn said, we bonded over our love of college football. Glenn is a Texas fan. I went to UGA. Mm-hmm. And we thought that maybe this is a great opportunity to do sort of the modern story set in the world of college football.
But what I think was really funny with Eli in particular is, like, I mean, our pitch was like a no-brainer. I think we blew it out of the water. But what was really, really funny is, you know, Eli is the best. Am I allowed to say talker on here?
Go for it.
Okay, cool. Great. He's the best talker out there. The Manning brothers are
I don't know. Interview just got way better.
Yeah.
Kind of picked that, and that's kind of sneaky about Eli, you know, is that he is exactly what you're saying, but he comes across, you know, when he's selling sandwiches.
He's such a ball buster.
I'll tell you an Eli story.
Please.
Right as we started developing this with those guys, it's like, it's cool to be on a email chain with Eli Manning. I'm like, I'm riding high off of that.
Yes.
Alone. And so every Thanksgiving, my family has a Thanksgiving football game. And one Thanksgiving, I was playing quarterback, and I had a pretty impressive touchdown pass, I thought, that was caught on video. And so I sent it to our Chad Powers email chain. And about a week later, I got an email back from Eli where he had broken it down and just eviscerated me with like graphics.
Oh my goodness.
From the Manning cast. Just, I mean, really pulver about my form and my mechanics and everything, which are not good. Yeah. And that really sums up the Eli experience.
How'd you take it?
It was wonderful. It was a high. I showed it to everyone I knew instantly. it's great.
And what was your contact with Eli?
The funny part about it is as we were pitching, it's like one of the funny parts is Eli just goes, "Hey, I'm worried about your form," and I was like, "Okay, like why?" I was like, "You know, I played high school football, but I'm not, you know." And he goes, "I saw Top Gun Maverick," and I was like, "Okay, a beach football sequence is not indicative." I said, first off, those balls.
Yes.
We're covered in coconut oil. Everyone was greased up. Everybody knows that dogfight football doesn't exist.
Yes.
And it's not about the form. It's about the flexing. You know, and I said, once you get me on the field, there will be no coconut oil in sight. This is about a different thing.
You're going to have your shirt on the whole thing.
I mean,
I don't want to deceive people into thinking that Glenn's shirt is on the whole time on the show. I'd like people to watch.
Sorry, I didn't mean to denigrate the product in advance,
Eli did, you know, connect us with, you know, like the greatest coaches, you know, in the game. I was with Nick Szymanek, who's a Patrick Mahomes' coach, and so we really, you know, I had Pat O'Hara, who's the former offensive coordinator for the Titans, on me just to make sure. And the funny part is every practice I went to, there was obviously, you know, footage of it. And I didn't realize that all the footage was going straight to Peyton and Eli. So I would get texts from them about, hey, try to look in your fingers right before the snap. Or, hey, make sure I didn't see that your eyes were on the safety here. That's where you should be reading right now. So I was literally like, oh, wow, we got to be. So everything that you see in the show, the thing I'm really proud of in the show is that it is funny as hell. I mean, it is, and I've showed it to people across the board. People love the show. But the thing I'm really proud of is people that really know football are going to look at it and go, wow, that's head to toe legit, you know?
I love that. So the Mannings were less interested in the plot and the content and more interested in you looking like a quarterback? Like, where do we parcel this out percentage-wise?
It is one of the things I worried about the most when creating the show. But think about it. It's like, we're all football fans. You watch top-tier quarterbacks play every week, right? And you know what that looks like.
Yes.
And look, I'm an actor, right? Like, I'm not pretending to be, you know, a top-tier athlete, but that magic trick has to exist regardless. You have to believe this guy is one of the best, you know, in the world. And so, you know, I definitely lowered my head to try to make sure audiences weren't like, oh my God, because we've all seen that go wrong.
And it's you out there. And you did the work, and it's Glenn out there in the helmet, you know, and making those throws. And they cared. They cared as much about the mechanics as they did about about the plot.
It was fun. It's actually Eli came to the writer's room just to make sure everything, even around the football, not even the stuff on the field, was legit, you know, how it all formed. But when you're talking about, you know, Peyton and Eli obviously have experienced what it is to be in a big game environment in college. So all the life around it really was thought about just to make sure that we're insulating the show with authenticity.
So Eli Manning comes to the writer's room of Chad Powers.
Yeah.
Yes.
And where does this rank for you in terms of pressure that you've been with this show, Loki, Heels? You know, our Mike O'Malley has been on this program. He brought James Harrison with him, by the way.
Yeah.
Which definitely, you know, that might bring some pressure when you're handing a script to James Harrison. He doesn't like a line or something.
You want to make sure you're writing good stuff for him.
Understood. Yeah. You know, when Harrison might give you a little look.
Yeah, yeah.
But where is Eli Manning strolling into a writer's room for you, Michael Waldron?
Eli is really tall. I think that Eli is huge. Mm-hmm.
I wasn't talking about you being physically hurt.
I was worried about being physically hurt.
Yeah. I wasn't concerned about. You know, never seen Eli lower his shoulder on anybody.
You should see him in his second life as a creative.
But you got to get this right, though.
No, I mean he was honestly so amazingly helpful and just fielding questions from our writer's room about, because the show, you know, audiences can watch great football Saturdays, Sundays, and part of the fun of the show is filling in what are these coaches, these players doing between the games, you know, because Glenn's character is trying to keep up this disguise, not just on the field, but in every moment, you know, before and after the game. So Eli, he helped fill in the life of a college quarterback. It was great.
Glenn Powell, Michael Waldron here to talk about Chad Powers, which premieres today. Two episodes on Hulu. There's six episodes. The rest will drop every single Tuesday. And in terms of promoting this, appreciate you being here. Glenn, you did College Game Day for Texas versus Ohio State at the Horseshoe.
Absolutely.
You're a Texas guy, correct?
I'm a big Texas fan.
I know your dad, who's here, is the Ohio State Buckeye guy. I don't mean to disrespect. Yeah.
You almost threw some fists in the dressing room out there.
Right. What was that like? Were you welcomed by the folks in Columbus, Ohio?
The craziest part is this is my fault. I really, for some reason, I've always wanted to see a game at the Shoe. You know, growing up, like my dad, you know, my dad's the most calm guy in the entire world. The only time I've ever seen him lose his temper is over Ohio State football.
Well, then the last four
Charles
Novembers
Woodson
have been
running it back. I remember that that one. He was like, it's the only time I've ever seen my dad lose his cool. And going to the Shoe, I was like super excited about it. But like, you know, College Game Day, they rarely allow like opposing team guests be the guest on College Game
Day.
That's
right.
So I'm sitting there thinking, okay, I'm going to be up, you know, at least with the booth with the boys, you know, a little removed from it. Sure, I know I'm going to get booed, but at the same time, it's all part of the process. Mm-mm. I was like, all right, so where am I doing this interview? And they brought me into the middle of the student section. And I'm in it was Ohio State fans. What? Buckeyes as far as the eye could see. Mm-hmm. I couldn't hear. I couldn't hear anything. She's asking me questions.
I was watching on TV, and I'm like, oh, he can't hear.
This is chaos. I was literally like, this is like, and all I'm like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, am I about to just like, you also, you're in their territory, I get it, but I'm like, am I just about to just talk all of Buckeye Nation right now? I don't know how to handle this moment. Anyway, we had a great time. It was a little bit of a tactical error on my part.
Tactical.
I shouldn't have assumed that I was going to be welcome with open arms in Buckeye territory on week one, you know, most anticipated game of the year. But it was a hell of a game. We had a fun time, and it was good to get to finally go back to the old man's stomping grounds.
And you were there for Corso's last broadcast too, right?
That was magical.
What was that like?
That was magical. I mean, you know, Corso is one of those guys that, you know, at least for me, it just kind of is sort of like epitomizes the magic around college football.
Oh,
he
sure.
just doesn't treat it so seriously. He's having a blast. It's all about the fun, great matchups, great games. And, you know, he's been in our living room ever since I've, you know, been able to walk. I mean, he's been doing this broadcast that is really, I don't know, for me, the magic of the weekend with my family. And that's, you know, college football is one of the things that my family and I share that we all love. And so it was really pretty cool to bring my family up there, you know, for Corso's last game. And I got to do game day before. He was so fun. But to get him to see him off into the sunset for that last moment was really, really special. He's going to be very missed. He's a hell of a guy.
Yeah, he put the headgear on
one
last time.
We were hoping he would put on the fictional
team's
headgear.
There's no way.
That's
a symmetrical story. The first headgear of Buckeye Nation. He had to do it. If he chose Texas, I would have. You understand story structure. You understand.
But I'm just saying, as a marketing opportunity, if he had put on the catfish head,
that would have been for Chad Powers.
Just
to start it, and then all of the Horseshoe would be like, what's up?
Everyone's really confused about his legacy all of a sudden. What is happening?
You couldn't work it out? Just tell him, hey, before you do it, you know, I know the whole country.
I think
maybe he'll come back. Yeah. Maybe one more, it would be a good idea.
I don't know. In all honesty, Chad Powers, you know, let's hope it gets successful. We get maybe multiple seasons of it. Corso will be involved. I don't know. You tell me.
We name check him in that.
You do.
He's canonized. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay. And so have you picked Eli's brain at all about his nephew? For your team?
Oh yeah.
Do you dare to do that?
Oh no. I saw Eli last week at DKR. So,
okay.
Eli. The fun part is the Mannings are all over my life in a great way, and it was great to see, you know, Arch really show up for the Longhorns this past week and show some swagger, and you know, obviously, I just feel like the Longhorns showed up on both sides of the ball, and just showed what they're capable of. I mean, we got a hell of a year ahead of us. I mean, I'm a little worried about Georgia. You know, we'll see how that goes. But you know, we have a gauntlet ahead of us. But I'm feeling very optimistic about where the team's heading.
Okay, you and McConaughey, part of the minister of, is the minister of culture or whatever.
McConaughey's got an actual title. I just sort of show
that's
up.
That's what I said. Like, yeah. Where's your title, man?
I'm not really on the salary, you know, yet. You know, I don't know. But McConaughey, I gotta say. I'm really trying to stay employed right now on the acting side of things. I'm doing my best, but I'm choosing my moments to come watch Texas football. I tune in every week, no matter where I am in the world. But the best part about this show is I can write off all my visits to Austin. Make sure I catch the game.
This is really a tax opportunity. I don't know.
I don't know if you should be talking about this on TV.
Just wait a minute.
I don't know
how that works.
I'm working for Arch's uncle. I'm creating something that Arch's uncle is plural are very and dad. I'm sure Cooper wants this to succeed as well.
Certainly. Yep, absolutely. Okay. I think we can make a case for it.
We're talking about Chad Powers. Few minutes left with the star as well as co-creators and executive producers. How did you choose the nose? Is it the same one that Eli wears or what? Not to get really creepy here.
I mean, you can talk about some of the good and the bad, the ugly on the prosthetics. I mean,
this had to have been a massive subject matter in creating this program.
Yeah, this was not
the right notes. Did you get notes on the nose from Disney executives, or what do we get here?
I mean, our own internal process. It was a blast. We went to a prosthetic studio, Vincent Van Dyke's prosthetic studio, in Hollywood.
Okay.
And Glenn
went to the top of the line. It's not just any nose here.
Yeah, and Glenn had a full mold of his face made. And we went through a bunch of different designs of just how ugly you could be. It was really amazing to see the different permutations of your ugliness. And it was different. No, you know, it's not a Mission Impossible mask. Like, it's not just one. The disguise is several different pieces, nose, a forehead, cheeks. And so it was kind of like a Mr. Potato Head thing of like, all right, if you put this forehead with these cheeks and this nose, how much does that make the audience want to throw up versus like, finding the right balance of funny, but appealing. And this was adorable.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the word that we're going with.
It's okay. There were some grotesque ones that I'm glad we didn't go with, but
we discarded them.
Yeah, we have pictures of it, but they're not pretty. But I feel like this is the most, you know, reminiscent of what Eli did. I feel like when you put our faces,
we wanted to evoke the look that Eli had. But it's funny now. It's, I say adorable because when I see Glenn, my friend, as Glenn, there's part of me that I'm like, that's not the real you. I spent so much time with Glenn in disguise as Chad that I'm actually in some ways more comfortable with him.
No kidding.
In disguise.
No, we're getting really deep.
Yeah, it's psychological. Michael.
Yeah, totally.
How the hell did you guys meet then? How did you guys
got set up. Everybody just said, hey, I think you guys would really get along. Like our agents were like, hey, like,
is that right?
Yeah.
And I'd been a fan of Glenn since I saw him in Everybody Wants Some. And I was like, that's a guy I know I'd love to write for and work with. And we met and we were like, we get along. We're both college football fans. We both love the movie Armageddon, which is a real...
It's so true.
It's like we spent most of our first meetings talking about that.
We have a great Armageddon. Armageddon is an amazing runner in this movie. Michael Bay and Armageddon is an amazing runner in this show. So you'll see. You'll love it.
Speaking of runner, how about that for a little twist right here?
Yeah.
The Running Man?
Whoa. Yeah. Dude. Yeah.
Come
on
now.
The movie's great. It's really good.
So when do we get The Running Man?
November 14th.
This is it. This is, I mean, fantastic. The Running Man is one of the best Arnold Schwarzenegger movies.
Yep.
Certainly ones that people don't say off the top of their head.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like they're not sitting there going, oh, The Running Man is my favorite, except this guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Really?
Here. Well, I mean, part of me is, I say this all the time. My wife hates when I say it, so I'll say it again. I feel I was put on this planet, part of me, to give away cash and prizes. I just can't get enough of it. So the game show aspect of it, Richard Dawson being the bad guy in the original, that also included Jim Brown, by the way.
Yep.
I mean, the other people in it, and it was just awesome. So what is there? And again, I know we're talking Chad Powers. We just spent some time on it. What am I going to get out of this movie?
Well, I think what's really fun is like you look at the original. So the original story is based on a Stephen King book.
Yes, sir.
And the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie is based on that. They kind of isolated it to like a studio. Our movie takes place out in the real world. Okay. So like the Stephen King book is like you release this guy out in the world. The entire world is hunting this guy. Okay, so you have those hunters that you're talking about, the Jim Browns of the world. But you also have, you know, entire citizens of the world who can get paid for killing this guy. So it's just like this movie just operates at like an octane that's like hard to fathom. And it's just relentless. It's so fun.
So there's no home game version. Like there was in the original.
No, exactly. Okay,
pretty much.
Exactly.
Only in a rerun. It's one of my favorite lines in the history of anything. Trust me. I'm geeking out about it.
I can't wait for you to see it. Dude, you're going to love it.
I cannot wait for that. And is there any potential Top Gun sequel that's in the works here or no?
You know, that's a Tom and Jerry issue. You know, those are the guys that kind of control when we go back to Miramar.
Who knows?
You know, that's the other thing is I stopped asking questions about it, but I do know there's a path forward on it for sure.
Okay, I'll take that and I'll run with it.
All right.
Because that was so great about seeing it again. For people, again, you know, obviously I'm older, but seeing it again, it was such a nostalgia aspect to it that just hit me and hit my wife just in the gut and in the heart just to see it again. And it was it was such a wonderful continuation.
I totally agree. I mean, it's one of the things I think I'm the most proud of around Top Gun Maverick is like, you know, all those guys that, you know, were responsible for making that movie, especially Tom, you just saw his relentless pursuit of perfection. It's something that I've taken on to every job, including Chad Powers, where it's like, hey, it's your job to be accountable for every single part of this thing being great, you know? And that's one of the things.
We had to learn how to fly F-18s
for flyovers. I do all my own flyovers in this show.
Yeah.
But it's true. It's like, to do something great, you really have to just like stick to it. And that's where it's like, that's why I'm proud of like the comedy in the show and just like the college football in the show, every single part of it, the drama, like it just shows you that if you really want to do something, just do it right. And so Tom, that was the greatest film school of my whole life.
And by the way, I'm not kidding. Like the nose too. You got to get that right. You got to make sure. I'm serious. Like, and it's funny that you mentioned it's not a Mission Impossible mask. Yeah,
it's true. And Glenn did take, and it was Top Gun is my favorite movie. And so,
is it really?
And so, you know, every time Glenn would tell these stories about working with Tom and everything and his work ethic, that was catnip for me. And I do think that pursuit of perfection and trying to make something genuinely special. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, we're making a show based on this funny sketch that Eli did, but our approach was, let's make the best show that anybody sees on TV this year. Let's make the best football anybody's gonna see. Let's make this thing the funniest show, the most heartfelt show. Let's do it big and do it right.
And so
we're pretty proud of it.
Fantastic. Now in the final minutes we have here, explain Loki to me, will you please?
Oh, right. Okay. Well, Loki, so yeah, basically the way time works is all instances of time are happening all at once. The multiverse is a
dude. Honestly, the number of times I'm sitting there watching with my kids on Disney Plus, you know, we start the, have you seen Loki?
I've seen Loki. I've had to shut down a lot of multiverse storylines in Chad.
Dude,
it's a handy device. If you want to imagine Chad encountering a female version.
Yeah.
Himself,
I'm like, let's just not. Well, yeah,
okay. Dude, were you sober? But you said straight up, like when you come out with this, like
not at first. that one was amazing. That was really special. And it's all the credit to Kevin Feige and Tom Hiddleston, who originated that character, and Marvel just let us you know, every crazy thing I pitched and wanted to do, they were like, yeah, step on the gas.
Where'd you find, where did the Owen Wilson connection come in on that? Because I'm not thinking, when I think of Loki, I'm not thinking, you know what's missing? Owen Wilson's
well,
missing.
Well, I mean, Owen, but he's, you know, he's the secret sauce of that thing. Very he grounds much. It. He makes that character, makes, he's sort of the audience's eyes in to all the insanity of that world. And yeah, Owen's brilliant.
Is he another UT guy? Am I missing on
he
that?
He is, or? Yeah, he is.
I haven't seen him on the sidelines this year. I've caught him for some LAFC games. Yeah. But yeah, he's a good one.
Well, congrats in advance on Chad Powers. Thanks, and thanks for coming here, both of you. I know Brisket didn't get any time here, but Brisket's somewhere around.
He'll come back groomed, ready for you.
I think Brisket's taking an El Segundo walk, just like many of us do here. The 6-episode season of Chad Powers premieres today with 2 episodes on Hulu and the final 4 release weekly on Tuesdays. Congrats in advance. Best of luck to Texas and Georgia. And I'd love to see you back here, certainly when you're doing the running, man.
I love that.
I will go all in on
Absolutely.
That, brother.
I
can't wait for that. Glenn Powell and Michael Waldron here. Check out Chad Powers on Hulu.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show and ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. We ended the show yesterday talking about, or we had a role playing yesterday, Chris, where
we did. That was great.
I was Harry Roseman. You were Elliot Wolf calling to ask for AJ Brown. I told you to GTFOH in the nicest way and then hung up on you.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's the way it would go.
Pretty much.
Because AJ Brown put out there on Twitter, I guess it was a
Bible verse.
A Bible verse about turning, you know, shrugging your shoulders.
About leaving, basically.
Yeah. At any rate, the coach was asked about A.J. Brown and how he took that tweet and post.
Yeah. You know, obviously, A.J. is very important to this football team. You know, I know he wants to contribute. I know he wants to contribute and, you know, do the things that he's capable of doing. And, you know, but yeah, I mean, so he wants to contribute into these wins and he's had a couple games where he hasn't been able to, you know, and for different reasons of why we haven't in these games. So, but I question nothing about, you know, his desire to play great football, his desire of being a good teammate, his desire to be here.
What else you want the guy to
Can
say?
Can I get a side of blue cheese with that word salad?
Yeah, no, it's not word salad. What's the word salad?
What did he say? Anything?
Can you give me what were they really thinking? Give it to me, Mike. Because I'll give you exactly what he's really thinking.
What were they really thinking?
We're 4-0. What's the matter with everybody around here? I know he's pissed off. Do you blame him for being pissed off? I don't blame him for being pissed off. I know what goes on around here. Sometimes the passing game's not working. We got a new offensive coordinator around here. It's going to take some time to work. And at some point, he's going to get a ton of footballs. Just look at the second half of the Rams game. Everybody's just got to, you know, relax. And I can't tell that to A.J. Brown, but I can tell that to you if I want to blow something up, and I just don't want to. We're 4-0. Just let me coach the team, troll Baker Mayfield, and win football games, please. That's what he would love to say, I think. I love what were they really thinking.
Oh, it's one of my favorites.
But of course, what do you want him to say? The passing game is going to get better. At some point, we're going to need him. We're not trading him. And I don't blame him for being frustrated. If it helps him to post something on X, great, because I'll put my head on the pillow and come up with a few more wins to get 60 in my first 5 years here. How do you think it worked out for other people around here before I got here? Not well. Oh, great. One couple great seasons with Doug Peterson, but then he got run out of town. Don't worry. Everybody just chill out.
Lamp poles are getting
and at some point,
right
Carl
now.
Anthony Towns is going to send another mariachi band in the Rich Eisen studio to troll TJ Jefferson. That's what he's really thinking.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to The Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney+, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show.
the podcast.